I'm going to ask a question that I think many of our young people know the answer to, but I need to ask it really for the benefit of some of the older folks in the crowd. Do you know what Photoshopping is? Photoshop is the name of a computer program that lets you manipulate and alter pictures and images to maybe make them look better, maybe make them look more vibrant, more colorful, or as a lot of young people use them for, in order to make pictures look funnier. My favorite kind of Photoshop images are the ones where maybe normal, everyday people, a picture is taken of them, and then they're inserted inside of a maybe hilarious or ridiculous kind of situation. For example, I guess a picture is really worth 1,000 words here. Here is the famous lunar landing photo from 1969. And as you can see, there's my daughter, just riding her big wheel right there on the moon, right next to Neil Armstrong. It's really quite amazing the things you can do with technology. I put that together in like 5 minutes this afternoon. Kind of neat, but that is exactly what we're talking about when we talk about the idea of Photoshopping. You may be surprised to hear that the idea of Photoshopping actually is not an innovation of the 21st century. In fact, it's not even a 20th century idea. I want to take you back all the way to the year 1633 to what we might call the original Photoshopper. This is a painting by Rembrandt. It is called The Raising of the Cross. And it is a powerful image. If you could just stop for a few minutes and look at that photo, that image, that painting, you'd see that there's a lot going on there. But maybe what really catches our attention, at least it's what immediately catches my attention, is this guy right here in the middle. This guy that you'll notice is wearing very European clothing in the middle of a first century setting. What in the world is that guy doing and what is he doing there? Well, that, you should know, is the painter himself. That's Rembrandt. And if you were to look closely, I wish I could kind of zoom in some way. It's a little hard to see. The painting is 500 years old. What you'll see is you'll see that his hand is actually under the backside of the beam of the cross. As a result, Rembrandt is helping to raise the cross of Jesus into position. Rembrandt photoshopped himself into that painting to remind himself that he was responsible for what happened that day at Calvary. He painted that picture and then intentionally added himself to that scene so that he would know and always know my sin. My sin is what put Jesus in that place. My sin is the reason that Jesus died. It is as if I were raising the cross beams myself. You should know, though, this evening that Rembrandt is not the only person who decided to take a first-person approach to the idea of the cross. Open your songbooks, if you will, to song number 604. That is the song, I'm the One. The song was written a lot more recently. It was written in 1963 by a fellow by the name of Ray Overholt. Ray Overholt actually wrote another hymn that is well beloved amongst us, the song 10,000 Angels. And in this song, Ray Overholt wants us to take all of those events, all of those things that we studied about at length this morning in our sermon, about the suffering of Jesus Christ, and Ray wants us to think about those events in very personal terms. Notice the verses, the stanzas. I was not in the garden when he knelt to God and prayed, and I did not kiss him on the cheek when Jesus was betrayed. Verse 2. I was not at the trial when the crowd jeered at his name, and I did not make him bear a cross or walk a road of shame. I was not on the hillside when he gave his life that day, and I did not nail his precious hands or take his robe away. All of those words are exactly true. They're true for Ray Overholt, and they're true for every single one of us. None of us were present that day. None of us were physically responsible for Jesus' betrayal that's talked about in verse 1, or Jesus' sham of a trial that's talked about in verse 2, or even the crucifixion itself that's talked about in verse 3. All of those painful and horrible and excruciating events, those things occurred physically at the hands of wicked men who were living in the time of the first century. But I want you to know that even though we were not physically responsible for any of those things, by no means does that mean that we are somehow not culpable. We too share in the guilt of crucifying Jesus because of our sins. Look at the final line that's used in each of the three verses. I could not do a single thing to hurt God's only Son. But every time I sin on earth, I feel that I'm the one. And then the chorus, I'm the one. I'm the one who shouted crucify. I am the one who made His cross so high. I am the one who stood and watched Him die. What have I done? I'm the one. What do you think? What do you think whenever you think about the cross? Do you see it in that way? Do you see yourself there? Is it your voice shouting out, crucify Him, crucify Him? Is it your hand that held the hammer that nailed His hands and feet to the wood? Can you maybe feel your arms around the cross beams, hoisting and lifting it into position? Can you maybe hear the Savior crying out the words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and you understand and you realize that He's talking about you? Maybe what it's time for us to do is it's time for us to maybe take that famous passage from Isaiah the 53rd chapter, that passage that so beautifully describes the suffering servant, and maybe what we need to do is we need to do what Rembrandt did in his painting, and we need to do as well what this guy did in this hymn, and we need to bring that passage home, and we need to think about it more directly and more personally. Maybe Isaiah 53 verses 4, 5, and 6 needs to be read this way. Surely He has borne my griefs and carried my sorrows. Yet I esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for my transgressions. He was crushed for my iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought me peace. With His stripes I am healed. I am like a sheep that has gone astray. I have turned to my own way. The Lord has laid upon Him my iniquity. I'm asking you this evening, do you see yourself in that text? Do you understand your place in this song? We're going to sing song number 604 here in just a moment as a song of invitation. And if you're not a Christian, but as we've talked about this evening, and especially as we talked about this morning, and you realize and you understand, I am the one. I am the one. I am to blame for the death of Jesus Christ. There is blood on my hands. It is the guilt of my sins. Then why don't you make tonight the night that you are forgiven of those sins and that you are buried with Christ in baptism, crucifying the old man and coming up out of the water anew. Man, a new person. You know, I think about those people in Acts chapter 2. If those people could be forgiven for literally killing Jesus, then so can you and so can I. And we can do that by responding to the gracious invitation of salvation that is offered only in Christ Jesus. Brother or sister, think long and hard about this song as well. If you're not living right, if you're not living full, wholehearted, committed discipleship to Jesus Christ, if you are doing things that are completely contrary and opposite to the will of God, then I want you to listen to the words of this song. Look at the words again there. I couldn't do a single thing to hurt God's only Son, but every time I sin on earth, I feel that I am the one. If you know that feeling this evening, that's a feeling of conviction. If you are being convicted by the words of this song and the thoughts of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, then let that conviction move you to repentance, to make a turnaround in your life. And if we can pray for you this evening and encourage you in some way to be more faithful in your service to King Jesus, then we stand ready to do that as well. Let's all take an honest inventory of the thoughts of this song right now. And if we can help anybody to serve the Lord or serve the Lord in a better way, then would you make your way down front and make those wishes known while we stand and while we sing.